Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN, well, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. Morning, Key, Jay. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay, let's bring Key into this discussion we were just having with Dave Rothenberg and Rick DiPietro.
I know people can't see at home right now, Max, but Key is holding up his book because he's saying that's what Saquon Barkley should just say to the Giants organization. Just give me the damn ball.
Just give me the damn ball.
Well, okay, but the guy who ultimately the buck has to stop with in terms of game planning, whoever's calling the plays, doesn't like, is Joe Judge. And it looks like the Giants are going to bring him back for a third season. Key, is that the right move?
I think it is. When they give Lewis Riddick the job as a general manager, I will consult Lewis and have a conversation with him deeply at a table somewhere in the tri-state area or maybe in a hangar on a G550. You know, they do the little meetings. And I will tell Lewis Riddick, you're in charge in hiring Joe Judge's staff. Okay, he's got to get rid of some of the dudes on the staff. And you need an offensive coordinator who has done it. You need a Norv Turner-ish, not a Jason Garrett-ish.
Good rather than bad.
Go find you a guy who knows what he's doing. And bring him in so you can develop this young quarterback. Keep Saquon Barkley. Fix the offensive line with a good offensive line coach. Not a friend of the coach. Remember, they lost their offensive. Their offensive line coaches got into a whole little tit for tat a year ago. Mm-hmm. Get a guy in there that knows what he's doing. Figure out whatever other pieces you need. And give him this opportunity to grow the team on a trial basis. And that's the conversation. Don't want to hear anything about, I'm going to find the offensive coordinator for you if I'm going to take this job. Because we got two guys that we got to develop and figure out what the hell they are, the quarterback and the running back. That's what I would do. Messing around with Fred. Freddie Kitchens wouldn't even be on my staff.
Can I tell you something? That it's and when I hear Bill Belichick do it, it makes sense to me because obviously of all the success that has came along with it. But I do feel like Joe Judge needs to stop with all this coaching talk a little bit. Like, you know, it's the way he answers questions sometimes.
Tough guy.
Yeah, and like for me, I don't think that really resonates with fans. And look, I need it to resonate more with the players more so than fans. But I will tell you, as a player, when you constantly hear that, you also want a coach to be just real. Be real with me, damn it, Key. Like, stop giving me little spins on things from a coaching perspective. Just tell me exactly what the hell it is and let me deal with it up front. And I just feel like that kind of rubs people the wrong way.
Well, I mean, he came in, he started off a certain way, and everybody felt he was trying to be Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick. And that's okay. That's what you think is going to work. You're going to run the players, run the coaches, do all the, you know, names off the helmets of the jerseys, not giving – you can do all those, play them games, do all that. But you got to win.
Yes.
And if you win and you got skin on the wall, players will run through a wall for you and media will back off of you. But when you are out there acting like you just that dude and you're really not that dude, it wears thin on everybody and you will get attacked by the media, by players, by fans. And he's in that situation now where I'm not a Giant fan. I just happen to be in the New York area covering the Giants because of media. I'm not a New York Giant fan at all. I don't have any vested stress level interest in this. But he is not doing what was promised when he got the job. What was promised was they're going to be tough and they're going to do this and they're going to do that and it's not happening. So if that's the case, you know, the general manager, if and when that position becomes available and Lewis Riddick gets it, Lewis Riddick is going to have a real hard talk with Joe Judge.
And Max, the last thing too, you talk about what we were promised. We were promised discipline, preparedness. So when I watch this team, who is dysfunctional right now, for how many times they have unnecessary timeouts, all the penalties that they incur, like it goes against all the things that you've been selling me on that you're preparing this team to do.
Yeah, I was skeptical when I first heard Joe Judge because that it smells like fake tough guy, you know, coach guy without the resume to back it up. However, over the couple years watching him, I've come to the conclusion this is who this dude is. This is not like he's playing. It's who he is. And the other thing I notice is I think his players believe that he puts them in positions that he believes will lead to their success, whether or not they actually do. Like, in other words, he's not a dude that guys just give up on because they feel like, oh, he's just a fraud. He's talking it and he's not about it.
But Max, it's not leading to
not
success.
Not yet. Yeah. But it's not leading to success. And do I think he's going to have the job long term? I do not. But that begs the question, if that's your feeling, do you actually sacrifice a whole other season of like Saquon Barkley's youth and all that in finding out an answer that you pretty much have a pretty good idea about already?
Well, not necessarily, because again, if I'm putting him around good coaches that can help him mature as a head coach even faster, then he may turn out to be something.
But that you're only doing it because he happens to be there already, right?
Well, yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Out of everyone in the world, you're going to look at him again because he already got the job.
But it's also tied to a couple things, though. Decision-making on quarterback, which is important. Decision-making on running back, which is important. And if I keep him, then I could look at it and say, okay, he had bad coordinators, bad coaches. His staff is better now. He may turn out to be the right decision. Or I could just blow him all the way out, call it a day, and still keep the quarterback and still keep the running back and let the new coach, who I believe in, say, you know what, we can get something out of him or we can't get nothing out of him.
Key, we talk about his staff, right? And I'm sitting here saying, okay, I get that. Even though I believe Jason Garrett should have been gone last year, Jason Garrett is now gone. Freddie Kitchens is in that new role to a degree. But if I'm Joe Judge, if I know this pressure's coming on me, I need to find an offensive coordinator for the talent I have. I need somebody to fix this, to help me fix this. I don't know what situation he's in right now because it seems like it's going in a different direction, and Sean McDermott does not seem too happy with the direction of the Bills and Brian Daboll, who's there. But if you're Joe Judge, can you go out and get a guy like Brian Daboll and say, like, okay.
No, why would Brian Daboll leave the Bills to go?
Because I'm going to pay him a lot more money.
I
saw what you did with Josh Allen. I need you to do that. I need you to do that with Daniel Jones.
Not NFL.
I need somebody. If it's not Brian Daboll, Key, that's fine. If you don't think it is, maybe for me it is. But there has to be somebody out there that can fine tune and change this offense, because the talent I have, I can no longer watch this talent not operate efficiently.
No, if Brian Daboll, who's having some issues of his own in Buffalo, was on the streets, then that might be a name that you look to. But because Brian Daboll is already in place and the Bills can pay him to keep him, or he can go get another job in the NFL or whatever the case may be, what he's got to identify is a guy who can call the plays. And Freddie Kitchens just there as a stopgap guy because Jason Garrett was terminated a couple weeks ago. But there's coaches out there that he could hire, I'm sure, that would do a better job. I mean, I personally know a couple, but,
who?
You know. Well, I like Todd Haley, who's sitting on the sidelines. I like him.
Yeah, but will Joe Judge's personality be able to mesh with Todd? And I love Todd. I think Todd is a beast, but I'm not sure Todd
can't
is
worry. You can't worry about all that. Okay. You got to worry. Damn what you go through during the week is what you're going to accomplish on Sundays and Mondays and Thursday. That's what you care about. I don't care about what happens on Wednesday to Saturday. All I care about is Sunday, Monday, Thursday.
Joe seems like he's cut from that same Bill Belichick cloth to a degree where he likes to control, and Todd does things his way.
That may be the case, but there's others that are out there that he certainly could take a look at. I'd take a look at Jay Gruden, which is a good play caller who knows what to do in terms of being an offensive coordinator, maybe not great as a head coach.
Understands NFC East.
There's some other names that are out there that he could certainly look at and say, all right, I want to bring him in because I think he could develop this particular quarterback.
And then there is the issue that we could talk about Gettleman, the GM. We could talk about Joe Judge, the coach. But fish rots from the head down. And the Mara family has been great owners in the NFL in terms of the success of the New York football Giants. And Giants fans, like, always feel proud of that. I do, Jay. Like, oh, look at the Giants' original franchise, and they got a, they're family-owned and all this. But when do we start looking at John Mara in terms of the level of involvement with the team and the key decisions that have been made and the way they've turned out? Dave Gettleman, since he took the job, 18-41. 18-41, that's not okay. Isn't you got to play multiple seasons to even get to play that many games? 18-41? So let me ask you this.
Have they, under Joe Judge, have they had any Pro Bowlers?
They have to. Every team's right? got to have
Everybody
a Pro
got
Bowler.
Like one.
I'm trying to think, though.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They don't have any Pro Bowlers under Joe Judge? Is that even possible?
Like it. And a Pro Bowl ain't even all that. This, you
yeah,
know,
it's
like,
right.
Whatever,
it's not all pro. You ain't saying all pro.
Everybody goes to the Pro Bowl. You just sneeze and you go to Pro Bowl nowadays.
You're just saying, you're not saying be first team, be second team. You're saying make a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Who?
It's got to be this is not
Leonard
good.
Williams?
Evan Ingram?
Ingram never James. Made no Pro Bowl.
No. Yeah. Heck no.
No.
No, it wasn't no Leonard Williams. No. None of the receivers.
Jack Rabbit make
no,
a Pro Bowl with
he
the
just
Giants.
Got there.
Was Jack Rabbit even there
none
when
the secondary.
Joe Judge was
I bet
there?
I bet you none have made it so far. That just goes to show me they're not developing.
Punch in the gut, man.
And that's the lowest thing on accolades, and they're not even developing. If that's the case, they're not even developing the players.
I just made a Pro Bowl while we were sitting here. They didn't even make us.
The year of the pandemic when the Pro Bowl game was canceled. It says that star cornerback James Bradbury and Ingram, surprise, were named first-team Pro Bowlers. For the
Ingram was a first-team?
Yeah, that don't even sound right.
Oof.
I mean,
Bradbury, I could believe.
Bradbury, yeah, I guess he would. But I guess I could.
Yeah.
If that's, yeah. Oh. But whatever, they have something on paper.
So let's play reputation or reality, okay? Because Mara does not have the same reputation as John's, as Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder or one of those guys, right? Tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Let's play reputation or reality. John Mara is a meddling owner. Reputation or reality?
I think it might be reputation because he is the owner. What is he supposed to do?
Just not hire the GM.
Not hire the GM. I mean, like, that's his job. His job is to be a part of things. But meddling to me is if you're trying to tell someone how to call plays, what that's meddling. But hiring a general manager, hiring a head coach, that's part of what he's supposed to be doing.
I'm kind of torn. I kind of think it's a combination of both. Just hearing some stories from some people just about how he's influenced a lot of decisions, but he's also the owner of the team, which I think he's allowed to do. I mean, essentially, isn't every owner meddling to a degree?
But he is the team president and CEO, John Mara. Like, you know, I think he needs to give up those titles. Be the owner, go hire a team president, all that kind of stuff, and get out of your own way. Yep. Pay more money. Don't play New York cheap. Pay more money. Get out of your own way. He has failed as team president and CEO over the last, like, 10 years. How many years do you have to fail at something before you get out of your own way? I think it's reality. And by the way, I have good feelings about the Maras, but let's be honest. Ben Roethlisberger is overrated. Reputation or reality?
Reputation. How is he overrated? Guy's gone to Super Bowls, Pro Bowls, championship games, playoff games,
about
division
right
titles. He's 1,000 years old. He's on his way out. He's not even rated. So how could he be overrated?
He's not overrated right now because everyone says he's no good.
He's not
That's
rated.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Nobody's saying that, hey, this guy's going to be incredible. Everybody's saying, oh, like, you know, we'll take whatever we can get from Ben.
Yes.
Actually, he might be a little underrated right now.
Maybe a little bit.
But I don't think he's overrated throughout his career either. He's clearly a Hall of Famer. He's won a Super Bowl. And he was the guy for some of those
years. He's the best quarterback in their class, man.
He was also the guy in some of those years, even though when they were better quarterbacks than him, I used to get the feeling, man, with the game on the line, I might want that dude.
He's the best quarterback in that class.
Yeah.
In
oh,
that
you mean
class?
Eli and Phillip Rivers?
Yes.
And, yeah. Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback in the NFL. Reputation or reality?
I think that that's reality. I think you got he's right there at the fifth spot. If you want to go Rodgers, Mahomes, Wilson, and who am I? Brady and Dak.
Lamar Jackson now in that conversation?
Remember, Lamar's over. He ain't even no
question. He's still, that he's still put, a number,
he's still
in, this
a number
list, yeah.
in this list.
Yeah, he ain't.
You Lamar, can't just separate him.
Lamar got his own list. Category. When he negotiating, it ain't even a question of what do you want, man.
If you're selling your franchise, would you have Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
If I was, it depends on what we wanted to do from
what,
an offensive
what does
standpoint.
Keyshawn Jackson want to Keyshawn Johnson, jeez. Keyshawn Jackson.
Joe Jackson.
You sound
Joe
like,
Jackson.
You sound like them now.
Say, I was going to say Joe, and I said Keyshawn, Joe, same thing. Well, who would you start your franchise with, Key?
Depending on what system I'm running.
What do you want to do? However you want to run your system.
I would probably be more inclined to start it with Dak because I want more stability in the passing game for me.
Okay.
You know what, guys? I thought I would say yes to this. I'm going to say reputation because I will take Kyler Murray over Dack Prescott.
Okay.
I think Kyler Murray's
good for
better
you.
Than him.
All right.
And you know what?
You're
Lamar
the
Jackson,
only fool.
Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You're the only one.
I know what you mean about wanting Dak instead of Lamar because it's just more, it's kind of easier. You know how to do that thing, right? Like, we've seen that work so many times. Kyler
it's
can
cleaner.
Sling it too. Kyler can sling it too. Man,
he just
right.
don't like him because of his size.
Reputation versus reality, guys. Philly loves their backup quarterback more than any other town.
Reality. Reality. I gave you a list of quarterbacks yesterday.
Do I need to
go on a long laundry list again about the quarterbacks that they had that they all of a sudden anointed to the top spot because they had one or two good games, and then all of a sudden they started looking at Donovan McNabb sideways and other guys. Like, that's what they do.
I'm trying to think of who else is in that conversation. What other teams are like that? What are cities?
Philly just loves anybody who helps them win games.
Yeah.
I mean.
But they're hot.
Who else is that way?
Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah. Washington.
Washington.
I'm not going to.
Well, that's a good one, Washington.
I know we had the sound from yesterday, John Kincaid, right, about Minshew and about, hey, this spot is open. And, you know, yeah, Jalen Hurts is good, but he shouldn't think the job is his. I also don't think he speaks for every Philadelphia fan. I don't think Philly fans are like, yeah, Minshew's the guy moving forward.
I mean, the other thing about Philly is.
Yeah, y'all do, Yates.
Most recently, Carson Wentz, like, I'll just remind everyone.
I ain't going to do that to Philly
Carson
fans.
Wentz got hurt. Nick Foles not only won all the playoffs games, won the Super Bowl with Super Bowl MVP. Next year, they were dead in the water. Carson Wentz got hurt again. Nick Foles caught fire. They went to the playoffs, won a game at Soldier Field, almost beat the Saints at Saints, right? So they shipped Nick Foles out of town, gave the job to Carson Wentz. Like, I don't know.
Well, that was organization. That wasn't fans.
That wasn't fans. That's
true.
That
was organization.
All right. Reputation versus reality. The Cleveland Browns are contenders.
Reputation now.
Reputation.
It was reality at the beginning of the season. It's reputation now. Maybe they come back off the bye and they do some wonders and it feels good and they look different. But based on everything as of right now, it's all about their reputation. It really, truly is.
Yeah.
Reputation. I mean, I want to see Cleveland do well.
Yeah.
I root for Baker Mayfield. I root for Nick Chubb. I root for Kareem Hunt. Jarvis Landry, all these boys. I mean, it's the blue-collar team that you want to get over the hump for Cleveland. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen.
I root for the dog pound. You know what it is? Cleveland fans. You know when they lost the franchise, it was a grassroots movement in Cleveland to get a franchise called the Browns back, and it worked. Like, they petitioned the league. They did all – like, those fans are so thirsty. I root for the Cleveland franchise. I really do.
You know
that is reputation at this point, though. It's not reality,
you know,
that they can contend.
Hurt. It's going to hurt when they don't make the playoffs.
Oh, I feel so bad for that town. For
they
the
went
football
into this
side
season,
it
was all Super Bowl and this, that, and the other, and OBJ, and we're going to Landry and Clowney, we signed him.
It's been the perfect storm, man.
Now, all of a sudden, they're going to be, beep, beep, beep. Bring that box over here, please. They're going to be loading it up, getting ready for Christmas.
That's a body shot right there. A non-quarterback can't win MVP. Is that rep or reality? Cannot win MVP unless you're a quarterback.
That's rep.
You can win MVP.
You can win. Adrian Peterson won it.
going back 10 years.
But that's the question is, can you? And the rep is, yes, you
still,
can.
Still? So you can still?
Yes, but it's going to take what AJP's rushed for over 2,000 yards.
11,000 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I get Jonathan Taylor got a handful of touchdowns and things of that nature, and but it's not 2,300 yards.
Yeah.
It's a different, you know. You're going to have to do some stuff.
Reputation or reality, Jay? Can you win a quarter, an MVP if you're not a quarterback? Is it possible?
I mean, I see that more as a reality right now.
Yeah.
I mean, just even with what's happened with Jonathan Taylor, I mean, it's not 2,000 yards. I mean, that's something next level. Wonder where Derrick Henry would have been if he had finished the season healthy.
Yeah, I think it's reputation. I think it can happen. But it's got to be a dude who ahead of time, we have our eye on him. We come into the season with a lot of heat, and then he does all these spectacular things.
You gotta have 2,000 yards.
Yep.
Plus.
So
a bunch of touchdowns, and your team has got to be fire.
Yep. And you have to have press when the season starts. Oh, look at this guy. He's going to be amazing.
So this is why I feel it's a reality, too. I mean, look at all the top running backs in the league right now. I mean, everybody's hurt. This was like the games are getting way more physical. Injuries are happening more and more for the running back position. That's why I don't really – I mean, it's going to take an anomaly. So I'd rather go reality because probability is going to be heavily on my side.
Bill Belichick deserves all the credit he gets for the Patriots win over the Bills on Monday night. Rep or reality?
I would say it's the reality. Rep, what? Man, you almost made me curse. It's the reality of it. He signed off on a game plan from his coordinators and his installers, and they executed the game plan to perfection.
Perfection.
When Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, from a defensive standpoint, did not make any adjustments that made any sense. Bill Belichick went for two instead of kicking a PAT. Sean McDermott, same end of the field, kicked a field goal that went wide right instead of using the legs of Josh Allen to try and pick up more yardage or somewhat get the touchdown. I mean, it's like, it's easy to see. And Sean McDermott got a problem with Bill because Bill is Bill, and McDermott thought that he was going to win the division this year, and he realized
if you're a baller,
not going to happen.
Because if you're a baller, you're an all-star, and you play in the league with Michael Jordan, you might have feelings
it's just
about
like,
that
it's
after
like, it's
a
just
while.
Like, it's just like when Rex and the Jets went to the won the division and went to the AFC champ, they thought, oh, we can be Bill, like, okay, I'll let y'all sneak in there without Tom Brady, but I got y'all covered now.
That's reality on Bill. And also, if you're Sean McDermott, you're sick, right? I mean, the first punt is like a 15-yard punt by the Patriots. The second punt goes out of bounds. The great field position. The third punt hits a Patriots player in the side of the helmet. They get the ball. They finally capitalize. But you have moments to capitalize. You just did not.
It's reality. If it was so easy to do what Belichick did, everyone would do it.
Exactly.
Another late season run by the football team. Will it lead to another title?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are joined now by the man himself, Washington head football coach, Riverboat, Ron Rivera. Coach, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
What's happening, Coach? How you doing? How's health holding up?
It's doing well. Thank you, Key. I'm in a good place. I'm in my recovery phase. A little over a year, so things are most certainly headed in the right direction.
No, you are headed in the right direction, not only with your health, but also with the team. What's the biggest reason for this four-game winning streak that you are on right now?
You know, I think offensively, one of the things that we've been really good at has been we've been running the football. And quite honestly, falling in love with the 3- and 4-yard gains. You know, One of the biggest misnomers that is that, you know, if you're not running the ball and you're not getting 5, 6, 7 yards a carry, that's a bad thing. But the thing that's been really good has been we've gotten ourselves into third and four a lot. And Taylor is converting on third downs a lot right now. So that's been a real big positive for the offense. Defensively, just like the play up front, I think our front seven have been stout against the run. And then our back seven has seemed to come together, and you see the communications that's needed to be a good secondary. So a lot of positives happening for our football team right now.
When you were on with us at the start of the season, and we talked about the quarterback position, and you guys got Ryan Fitzpatrick and all that, and one of the questions was for you about having a, you know, more of a big-time quarterback, so to speak. And one of the things you said is that you don't have to have, and I agree with you, a big-time, like, name-brand quarterback to do what you want to do. You got to have a guy to not screw it up. Is this what you're talking about, what we're seeing with Tyler?
Yeah, we're seeing what Heineke's given us, you know, and Taylor's been really good with it, is he's managing the game, and then he's making plays when you need it. And that's, I think, is real important, because I think sometimes guys get out there and they think they got to win the games in the second quarter, and that's not when you really need to win them. What you need to do at that point is continue to manage, put yourself in position to score points. But in the fourth quarter, when you need something, he can step up and do it. And we saw it with that 2-minute drive, getting us in position to kick the game-winning field goal. That's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Ron Rivera, Washington head coach, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, I wanted to ask you, you talked about running the ball and getting those 3-yard gains. Watching the evolution of Antonio Gibson, how important has he been to your team?
Oh, he's been solid. You know, one of the things that we went through during the bye is Randy Jordan, our running backs coach, and Jennifer King, the assistant running backs coach. You know, we sat down, the three of us, and talked extensively about what we were seeing and what needed to happen. And one of the things that Randy kept pointing out was that he's got to learn and understand how important body lean is. And that's getting his shoulder pads over his knees to make himself a smaller target for the tacklers. And he's kind of grasped that, and you've really seen him develop and grow. And that's been a big, big part of I think, why we've done so well on offense, especially these last 4 games we played.
You guys have a tough division schedule coming up. Like, what do you see as the biggest hurdle of this stretch run that you're getting ready to try to make?
Well, you know, what I've been preaching to our guys was, first of all, we had to get into this position, you know, get ourselves to this 5-division round robin tournament that we got to play. You know, we play 5 divisional games in 5 weeks. We got to get into position where it means something, which we have. Now it's taking one at a time. And that's really the truth, because, you know, if you don't take care of business this week, you know, next week's going to be even tougher. So we got to face them one at a time, and we're going to focus in on Dallas first and foremost.
How do you feel about where you are right now and where the team is?
Honestly, I feel good about it. I'm a little disappointed, though, because if we had played better early on, we'd be in an even better position. But our situation is what we put ourselves in, so now we just got to go out and play. But I do like where we are because, again, we control our own destiny.
So why did it take so long, especially the defensive side of the ball? And I know, like, guys like me, what do we know, right? Like, we're going on what we saw at the end of last season. We're expecting the defense to come out like gangbusters. What took so long?
I think it's a fair question because, you know, if you go back and look what the expectations were, I think our biggest problem, we had to mature as a group. We had to understand that, you know, what our roles truly were. I think we were expecting too much from guys, and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves trying to be, you know, something that we're not. We got back to basics coming out of that bye. We talked about specifically, you know, playing a specific way, using certain blitzes, using certain coverages a little bit more, as opposed to really expecting too much from people. And I think once we started doing that, started playing with the understanding that, you know, hey, everybody's got to do this, everybody has to be part of this, I think it really helped our guys realize and recognize the fact that we were pushing and saying, you know, we can do this with just a 4-man rush. We can do this putting these guys in this type of coverage situation. We went back to a little bit more basic football. We went back to being a little bit more pressure-oriented in certain situations. And you really started to see the evolution of our defense, especially after the first 2 games that we've won recently. And we really saw that. And it's something I think that Jack and his guys have really grabbed onto, and the players are buying into it now.
Coach Rivera, you guys are in contention for the division, huge divisional rival coming up in the Cowboys this weekend. What do you think the biggest challenge is that the Cowboys present?
Wow. You know, if you look at them defensively, is they're an aggressive, opportunistic group. You know, you've got to take what they give you, and you've got to stick to that mantra and be patient. If you're not, they'll find it and they'll exploit it. You know, when you watch how they beat teams, it's been when they've taken the ball away, when they've gotten after the quarterback and forced things to happen. We've got to be very disciplined. We've got to be willing to accept what, you know, what's out there. Defensively, what we've got to do is we've got to keep them in front of us. You know, this is a fast strike team. This is a team that really makes a lot of explosives. And we've got to limit that number, and we've got to keep them in front of us.
Losing Chase Young for the season, Coach, how has that impacted the defensive front seven? And I know, you know, you guys take pride in that front seven, but mm-hmm. losing one of your key members, certainly you could see at the time that you lost him that the front seven wasn't playing the way that they did a year ago.
Well, this is one of the things I was talking about, and that was we were expecting, I think, too much from those guys. And what's happened is people weren't allowing these guys just to come off the edge like they did last year. They were chipping these guys. We had a statistic that we looked up during that bye week, and it stood out. 57% of the time on 3rd and 7 to 10, teams were chipping and using extra blockers on our ends to slow down the pass rush. Mm. And that really did impact our defense. Now, you know, because we don't have those guys, their teams aren't chipping their way out, and it's helped us. It honestly, it has. It's helped the pass rush because, you know, they no longer have to worry about those extra tight ends, those extra backs, you know, stepping in to help slow down the edge rush. And our interior has really benefited a lot from that as well. And you really see the push and the surge that you need to be successful on third downs. Mm.
Well, Ron Rivera brought in to change the culture in the Washington football
team.
Certainly
doing that.
Wins the division and follows up. Here they come. If Dallas is hearing footsteps, it's the Washington football team footsteps. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you jumping on with us.
All right, Coach.
No, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, Coach.
Ron Rivera on the Goodyear Hotline. Is Dame Time almost up in Portland?
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Download the podcast, by the way. I don't care if you already heard it on the radio. Don't even listen to the podcast. Just download it. Get credit for that. Damian Lillard, guys, wants a two-year, $107 million extension in July. 53 and a half a year. And he and his agent need the next general manager to sell ownership on the idea, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reported yesterday. As much as anything, this cuts to the core of the Blazers' search process. His desire, Dame's desire for an extension into his advanced NBA years, has turned into a battle for the franchise's future, an existential threat to reshaping and redirecting the organization in a post-playoff reality. All right, I'm not sure about the words I just said, but Jay, how will this play out?
Never thought I would say this. But it would be in the best interest for Portland to trade Damian Lillard. It would.
So is that what the ask is all about, really?
So let me break this down for you. Let me put my cap hat on. So the extension, 2 years, $107 million, is on the back end of his current deal because he just signed a damn extension at 4 years, $176.3 million. So now what you're talking about is a contract over 6 years, $283.3 million, which averages around $47 million per year. On the back end, you're talking about for him, when he's 35, 36, he'll be making $52, $53 million. Like, that's what he'll be getting paid. And for me, that's a sign by saying, you're going to pay me a crazy amount of money. I'm going to hinder your organization because I don't want to be here, guys. I mean, he posted last night a hashtag that is F-U-N, fun. And everybody's like, oh, why is he posting that hashtag? And I'm like, oh, that means blank you. That means blank you, Neil O'Shea. Like, the way this organization has been ran, it's very apparent to me that Dame has been saying all the right things, but Dame wants to win. And this organization needs to move to a place where they are rebuilding. They were ranked 29th last year in defense. They're ranked worse this year than they were last year. They're not going anywhere. This year, they don't have the pieces to contend in the Western Conference. And I just said that the Western Conference is weaker than the Eastern Conference. What does that say about where this team is? So the question is, where does Dame want to go? Does he want to go to the Knicks or does he want to go to the 76ers? And do those teams have the trade assets to deal back to Portland that gives Portland the right opportunity to rebuild on where they want to go? That's the question we need. Which team is better, Philly or the Knicks for Portland? I know what Dame wants to do, maybe go to the Knicks or go to Philly or Philly. But what's going to give them the best return is the question for Portland.
Right. The winner of every NBA trade ever, basically, under these circumstances, is who gets the best player in the deal. And the Knicks don't seem to have a difference-making piece. Like Daryl Morey said, before I trade Ben Simmons, that's a difference maker. I got to get a difference maker back. Ding, ding, ding. Damn, difference maker. Who do the Knicks have? Like, they can pile up a bunch.
It would take a whole assortment. It would take, like, R.G. Barrett, Obi Toppin, Nerlens Noel, Quentin Grimes, Kemba, two future first-round picks.
Yeah.
It would take a whole assortment of something like
and
that.
And Philly, if I'm Dame, I'm looking like, oh, me and Embiid? Oh, and they'll still have Tobias Harris? And maybe mess around if you don't have to give up either Thibault or Maxey. You'll keep one of those two guys, let's say, in that deal. Oh, if I'm Dame, I know New York would go nuts. But if I'm Dame, I'm looking at Philly.
Yeah, I think from a team standpoint, the win sooner obviously would be going to Philadelphia. You got a disgruntled Ben Simmons. You can move that over there clearly. Now that McCollum is injured and probably out for some time, you can still have that sort of backcourt minus Dame. The Knicks just don't – I mean, it's cool for the Snack, Crackle, Pop, the Knicks fans and the brand and all that sort of stuff, but it's going to take a minute for the Knicks to get to where the Sixers are if Dame wants to win right now. And on top of that, I'm sure he's going to want his money, too.
They don't have Embiid on the Knicks.
I think the Philadelphia situation is better suited for Dame right now. But long-term, look, if Dame Lillard is in New York, people are going to want to come to New York and play for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, that question is over. Like, he will be able to openly recruit. And Tibbs thrives with players who are maniacal, just like him. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler. Think about those guys like Derrick Rose team in Chicago that's elevated.
Jay, let me ask you something.
That's for Tibbs.
I hear you. Who could Dame attract that gives the Knicks a legitimate shot at a championship? Because I have to imagine Dame is looking like, my clock is ticking, man. I got to get a chip.
Bradley Beal. I mean, you can – there are
Beal and Dame, is that enough? You need Beal, Dame probably, and someone else.
You probably add another big – I mean, Bradley Beal and Dame would be a lot.
A lot, but you ain't win a chip with that probably.
But he got that right now in Portland, though, basically.
Nah, Bradley Beal. CJ McCollum.
But I'm saying
Bradley
basically
Beal.
He got that, though. It's a two-headed monster.
Yeah, but
he basically got that.
Got more teeth.
That's where he tweets hashtag fun all the time. Like, Neil O'Shea hasn't been able to put the right pieces around Dame. I mean, they got to the Western Conference several years ago, finals, right? But they couldn't get over that hump.
Jay,
and since then, they've been depleted.
Jay, well, of course they can't beat Golden State.
Beal and Dame is not, like, let's be sober about this, right? Like,
sober,
Beal and Dame ain't going to win you a chip.
Dude, probably. You need
Bill and Dame. I will love get you them. Damn close.
Yeah, but
to win it.
So who's that other
person? But that's the same thing I just said that he had in Portland. Got him close. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but no, CJ Beal McCollum. I love you. You know, you always say there's levels to it. Bradley Beal's on a different level than CJ McCollum.
I understand. Yeah. I understand what you're saying, Jay. But
you need other pieces.
But I'm with Max. I got to get over the hump. If I'm Dame, I just went to, a couple years ago,
who else?
The Western Conference Final as a two-headed monster.
Beal and Dame is a great start. But now you need a third piece, almost as good as those dudes. Who's the third piece?
I got to pull up and go through who the free agents are coming up. I don't know them off the top of my head by the time they get this deal done. But
and you need some size.
I mean, look, I would definitely start a foundation if I had Dame and Bradley Beal on the same damn team.
That's pretty good.
The other question comes back into Jody Allen, Paul Allen's wife, is the person that needs to make this decision. Like, this reminds me of Kevin Garnett and Kevin McHale. When Kevin McHale came and said, hey, look, KG, like, we need to do what's in the best interest of this organization moving forward. We love you. We want to send you someplace you want to go. But, like, we can't hold you here anymore for this money that you're trying to ask on the back end when you're 35, 36 years old. We're going to hinder our franchise for years to come. You can't do it. You got to let him go, Portland.
Carl Anthony Towns, maybe? I'm trying to think.
Cat could be another pick.
If you have Dame, Beal, and Cat, you got something for sure. You got something there for sure.
Would he want to play with
Blazers will be without Dame, without CJ McCollum tonight as they take on the Warriors, 10 p.m. on ESPN. Key says Dak is a top five quarterback. So why aren't the expectations the same for Dak as they are for Brady Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes? That's next. KJM, ESPN Radio, the app, Sirius XM Channel 80.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.